you have a Bible with you, you may care to have open the passage that we read just now, Romans chapter 5. We're continuing the thought from the war memorial this morning in John chapter 15 and verse 13. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And you are my friends," he said, "if you continue to obey me." Paul writes in this passage that we read together, in verse 7, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die." A righteous person here is probably referring to someone who thinks themselves to be righteous, and a good person is someone who is considered outwardly to be good. Many of us will have seen films which involves the likes of Clint Eastwood or other actors prepared to jump in front of their president to stop a bullet hitting their president. There is a film, it's a delightful film, called Dave. It's a film about a man who looks like the president, and when the president has a stroke, they draft him in to pretend to be the president. And at first they're totally dismissive of him, but because he does such a wonderful job, he's able to actually run the country effectively. And at the end, when he says, "No, I can't carry on doing this, I'm going to quietly disappear," and he pretends to have a stroke very publicly, and when he's rushed off, they swap him over for the real president. And as he's being taken away, his driver is one of his secret service guards. The character's name is Dwayne, as you would expect in America. And Dwayne says to him, "Dave, I would have taken a bullet for you." He would have jumped in front of him, even though he wasn't really the president. He would have jumped in front of him to protect him, and he was prepared to die rather than this pretend president died, because he had developed such a high regard and love for this man. He cared for him so much that he was prepared to give his own life in order that Dave might live. I wonder, have you ever thought, is there anybody that you know that you'd be prepared to do that for? If some mad gunman turned up, would you immediately jump to the front and say, "No, you're not going to shoot anybody unless you start with me"? Unfortunately, mad gunmen usually then would start with you, but you might in so doing save the lives of some others. And this has happened. There have been mad gunmen, and people have thrown themselves in front of others in order that they might die and others might live. Would you do that? Is there anybody that you think of so highly that you'd be prepared to do that? Think of those people that you know, not just friends and family, but everybody around you. Would you be prepared to do that for them? There are people that you know, perhaps, that you don't particularly like very much. Would you do it for them? And you say to yourself, "Of course I wouldn't. Why would I do it for someone I don't like? I mean, I can think of..." And you think of a name. "I can think of them. I'd be pushing them to the front and get them killed. I certainly would not take a bullet for that person. Ah! In this passage, Paul tells us what Jesus did. He says to his friends in John 15, "Greater love has no man than this, than he lays down his life for his friends." But in this chapter, we are told that Jesus laid down his life for his enemies, for those who hated him. We are remembering today what has happened in various wars that have happened and continue to happen. And there are people today who are being shot at and possibly even killed in various parts of the world. We think especially of Iraq and Afghanistan. There are wars going on. There are people on one side and people on the other side, and they're shooting each other, they're trying to kill each other. They are enemies. You cannot imagine someone from one side getting up and walking into the middle of the battle and standing facing his own side and saying, "Don't shoot. Don't kill those people behind me. They might be our enemies, but don't shoot. Shoot me instead." But that's what Jesus did. Jesus died for his enemies. Who are his enemies? His enemies are those who are his Father's enemies. His enemies are God's enemies. Who are God's enemies? And you might say, well, that's very easy. That's people who do things wrong. People who are murderers. People who are thieves. And people do all sorts of other things. The sort of people that when they're caught, they get thrown into prison. These are God's enemies. Yes, it's true, they are God's enemies. But is there anybody else who is God's enemy? And the Bible says, yes, there are other people who are God's enemy. Earlier on in this letter, Paul has explained that there are those people who deny the existence of God. Now, while we may like to believe in the non-existence of Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister, he does in fact exist. And it is a very foolish person who says that he doesn't. We might wish that George W. Bush, did not exist. I have to say George W. to distinguish him from his father, who jumped out of an aeroplane this morning. It was on the news. He jumped out of an aeroplane, don't know how high up it was. He was wearing a parachute, and he did land safely. And he is only 83 years old. But it's not that George Bush we're talking about. We're talking about his son, George W. Bush, the President of the United States. There are many people who wish George W. Bush did not exist. But he does. And these people would regard him as their enemy. And there are people who say that God does not exist. They are God's enemy. But the Bible tells us not only are they God's enemy, but anybody who ever at any time does anything wrong, not just outwardly, but in their hearts. So I've already mentioned that you might love to push some unpleasant person to the front when a gunman turns up. Well, if you thought that, then you have wished him dead. And that makes you a murderer. You might not actually kill anybody, but God says merely to think something wrong You are guilty, and you have become God's enemy. To deny God's existence makes you his enemy. To think things wrong makes you his enemy. To do things wrong makes you his enemy. Now, there is no one here who has never thought anything wrong. None of us. We have all, at some time or another, thought wrong things. This is what Paul, the writer of this letter, discovered. One day he thought he was good. He thought he was perfect. He thought he'd never, ever done anything at all wrong in any way. Until one day he was rereading the Ten Commandments. And he got to the Tenth Commandment. And the Tenth Commandment says, "You shall not covet." And that means you shall not desire that which is not yours. And Paul suddenly realized everywhere he looked, he was coveting. He was wanting things that weren't his to have. Have you ever coveted? Have you ever thought to yourself, that person's got a nice, perhaps some people at the War Memorial were thinking this morning, that's a nice iPod. I'd like to have that. That's coveting. Perhaps people looked at the player and said, that's a nice iPod player. I'd like that. That's coveting. Have you ever done that? All of us have, in some way or another. And so we are all guilty before God. We are all God's enemies. And because God has made us, we belong to God. We are his to do with as he chooses. And we should do what he tells us. And it's when we don't do, when we don't think what he tells us, we become his enemies. And Paul tells us here that we are ungodly. That means we want nothing to do with God. While we were still weak, he says in verse 6, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person. One would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still rebelling against God, while we were still hating God, while we were doing all the things God told us not to do, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. We were enemies, he says, he's talking to those who have been reconciled. You were God's enemies, but now you're reconciled because Jesus died for you. He didn't have to do it. You were his enemies. But out of the great love with which he loved us, he died and was punished for all the things we have ever done wrong. Jesus was punished in our place, and what we have to do is to agree with God that we are wrong and believe in Jesus Christ. And when we do that, God forgives us. And when that happens, we are God's enemies. There is a war going on between us and God. When that happens, we are saying, the war is over. I surrender. and we give ourselves up to God. And as a result of believing in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only do we have peace with God, we have peace in our hearts, and we know the love of God in our hearts. Verse 5, hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, us who believe. Do you want to know whether God has accepted you or not? You look to this verse and ask yourself a question. Has God's love been poured out into my heart? Do I know God's love in my heart? Do I know the forgiveness that God gives to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's all that we need to do. In order to be forgiven, in order to know God's love, we need to agree with God that we are in the wrong. We need to agree with God that we are his enemies. And we need to trust Jesus Christ, the man who lived and who died a cruel death on a cross, to believe that he took our sins, that he took our punishment, and to receive that forgiveness in our hearts. Some people hear this and they say, well, that means once I'm forgiven by God, I can live as I like. In one sense, that is true. But once a person has believed in Christ, once a person has been forgiven by God, once they realize what has been done for them, once they know God's love in their hearts, they don't say, wonderful, now I can carry on living as I was. They are so grateful to God for what he's done. They are so filled with gratitude to God for what he's done that they say to themselves, I will now live my life in such a way as to show everybody how grateful I am to God. And I will seek to do everything that God has said that I should do, and not do any of those things which God has said not to do. Sadly, I will fail because I'm not perfect. But that's what I'm going to try and do, because I'm grateful to God. You do find people who say, oh yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they carry on living just as they did before. It doesn't matter how much they may jump up and down and wave their arms and say, but I do believe in Jesus Christ. If their life does not demonstrate that, they are deceiving themselves, and they're trying to deceive everybody else. The person who truly believes in Jesus Christ, loves Jesus Christ, and loves to do what he has said, because they understand how much he has loved them. Do you understand how much God has loved you? You look at yourself in the mirror, and you should be able to see the most wicked person you know, because you know what you're like inside. I don't know what you're like inside, but you know what you're like inside. You know how wicked you are, if you think about it. You know all the things you've done that deserve God's anger and punishment. You know that you are God's enemy, and yet, even though you are God's enemy, Jesus Christ died for you. Even though you're ungodly, even though you're a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you. And so he calls upon you, each and every one of you, to agree with him that you are a sinner, to agree with him that you have done wrong, to agree with him that you are God's enemy, having agreed with that. Confess it to be true, turn from it, and trust in Jesus Christ. The moment you trust, the moment you really trust, you will be forgiven. You will be received. You will feel God's arms of love wrap themselves around you and receive you. And you will know what joy it is to know the forgiveness of God. But if you refuse to listen, you say, no, I'm all right. I will carry on in the way that I am. I'll take my chances. When I stand before God on the day of judgment, I'll say, but I tried my best. And God will say, your best is not good enough. The offer was made to you. Christ died for you. Someone appealed to you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you turned it down because you thought you were good enough. And you won't. And you will suffer the punishment for your sins that you deserve. But it's not necessary. Christ came in order that his enemies might be forgiven. You may be God's enemy, but God sends out an emissary to say to you that if you will give up the war, if you will surrender to him, you will be received. And not just told, right, you were an enemy, and now we'll keep our eye upon you because you never know. Just like after the Second World War, although the war with Germany had ended, for many years afterwards, Germans were not liked. Germans were hated. Germans were not trusted. Germans are okay. Germans are nice people. But that's not what was thought back in 1945. No, what God does now is not only does he say, now you're on the right side. He welcomes you into his family. He makes a person who comes and trusts in Christ his son or his daughter. God is good and kind and loving, and so great is God's love that Christ did not come to die for his friends. He came to die for his enemies. He came to die for us. Do you know the forgiveness of your sins in your heart? Can you say that God is your Father and that Jesus is your Savior? He can be, if you will give up the war and surrender and believe in Jesus Christ.